Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Thanks for listening to the Prime Time with Isaac and Suk podcast, brought to you on the fan by your local Les Schwab Tire Center, doing the right thing since 1952.
Prime Time with Isaac and Suk.
What is going on up here?
I never know, man.
Unbiased.
Shut your mouth.
Uncompromised sports talk without the sugarcoating.
I hope you're happy. You wasted everyone's life for 30 seconds.
Isaac Ropp and Jason Sakanik.
Now shut up and let me do my job.
The best in sports coverage.
This is going to be great.
This is Prime Time with Isaac and Suk on 1080 The Fan.
What it do?
Ahoy!
Hello.
What is up?
I'm beaming today.
Yeah, you are. Why?
I am. Hockey Town, baby.
Oh, yeah.
It's back.
Yeah, I thought about you today.
My captain. It's been far too long. Welcome home.
Steve Yzerman.
The great Stevie Y.
Who is a, I think he was a hockey player.
He was a hockey player.
Overrated.
True story.
My favorite athlete of all time.
Yeah, he's your guy, and you named your son after him.
I did.
And you didn't name your son Steve. You named your son Yzerman.
He carries the Y on the back.
Tiny Y.
Yep, Tiny Y.
He has been hired as the general manager of the Detroit Red Wings.
It's about freaking time.
Why?
Because
now, wait a minute. From afar, this looks like one of those things where it'd be like the Royals hired George Brett, and I'm like, oh, yeah, that's great. And the reality is George Brett would be a terrible GM.
No, Steve.
Is this the same thing?
He's one of the best GMs in the game.
Oh, he's been a GM?
Yeah, he's the GM for the Tampa Bay Lightning, and he built the best team in hockey. Unfortunately, the best team in hockey just S'd the bed in the playoffs. But
whoa.
He's a great GM.
He was the guy that built the team that just melted down?
Yeah.
And you want him?
He's widely considered to be one of the two or three best GMs in hockey and has been for a couple of years.
Well, clearly he's not, sir. Who beat him?
I think it was the Moose Knuckle Warriors.
Oh, it was Moose Knuckle.
Yeah. Pay no attention to us stalling for time.
I told you.
The Moose Knuckle Warriors.
I told you Moose Knuckle would win it all.
Yeah, Columbus,
they've already beat the best team.
Columbus, the Blue Jackets.
So Steve Yzerman is the GM of the Red Wings.
Yep.
And so why didn't they hire him sooner if he's so great?
They had a really good, so back before the salary cap, the Red Wings were like the best team in hockey. They were like the Patriots. And they had a really good GM, Ken Holland, who was well-respected. And then when Steve Yzerman retired, he took a job in the front office in Detroit, and then he wanted to be a GM, so he left because Detroit had a really good one. Well, Ken Holland is old and decrepit, and the Red Wings suck. And so the belief was, get rid of the old guy, bring in Steve. And there was always a little bit of attention because Ken Holland was one of the best GMs in hockey for years and years and years and built all the great Stanley Cup teams in Detroit over the years. And so he's going to step aside and be like a vice president of something or other. Mm. And then Steve will come in and take over the GM. But like Yzerman, he is like, I mean, it's not, I guess it's not, it's like Tom Brady coming back. Like Steve Yzerman is a legend. I mean, if you're not a hockey fan, he's one of probably the 10 best hockey players of all time. He's the most beloved figure in Detroit sports history. He's the best. Mm. And so for hockey fans, and more importantly for a Detroit fan, this is about as good as it gets. I am not a big emotional sports guy, or, you know, it's a good place in my life, but it's not like an overreach. He is a bit different.
He got his hooks in you. When's the last time you sports cried?
My son is an idiot. The last time I sports cried, boy, it's been a long time.
See what you said to him.
Remember that?
I do remember that. So I don't know the last time I sports cried, and I didn't cry today, but there was certainly a lot of the tribute videos and stuff coming back. It was pretty cool today.
So he was kind of the guy that they had their eye on.
Yeah.
Right. Everyone
knew.
Because he's a Red Wing.
He's a Red Wing. He's like, he is Mr. Red Ring. I mean, Gordie Howe and him. I mean, they're
Wayne Gretzky though.
Well, Gretzky is in hockey, but not in Detroit.
No, he played in Detroit.
I don't think he did. He played a lot of places, but not in Detroit.
He played at Moose Knuckle, right.
Yeah, he was a Moose Knuckle Warrior. Yeah. This was a big deal for Red Wing fans.
Well, that's good.
And they have stunk for a number of years.
What's up with them?
They're just bad. They're really, really bad.
And I remember when they were just every year.
Yep.
Just always pretty good little hockey club.
Model of consistency. And like the whole Stevie Y thing for me.
Ooh. I'm looking at their. Well, they've only been bad for two.
No, they've been bad for a couple years, man. What's the difference between two and a couple? Well,
I've got them bad for one, two. This is their third year. So a few years.
They've been bad.
Isn't a couple two and then few is three?
They've been bad before that. Not as bad as this, but they have not been relevant in years.
They've lost. They lost in the first round of the Stanley Cup playoffs 3 years in a row.
They're not good. And they have not been relevant for a number of years.
Stupid Babcock.
Yeah.
He's an idiot.
I got to talk. You asked, I don't know if it was a sports cry, but I got to talk to Steve Yzerman once. And I didn't get to meet him, but I got to talk to him on the phone.
Mm-hmm.
And he thought it was pretty cool that I named my son that. And I told him the story behind it and how it came to be and how my wife, thought it was kind of cool. And she knew how much I cared for him and all that. And he told me on the phone, he goes, I just want you to know what an honor that is. And I'll paraphrase the conversation, but I don't know if he was placating me or not, but he thought that was pretty neat. He goes, I've met a lot of Steves. He goes, I haven't met a lot of Yzermans. And I told him, I said, because he said, thank you for that. And I told him, thank you for me never having to explain to my son why my hero was on the front page of the news for something bad. I said, thank you for never having that conversation like forced where I had to explain to my son why his name was being dragged through the mud. And I thanked him for that. And I felt like, and again, don't know if it was a placate or not, but I felt like we had a moment. I felt like he got a little choked up at that.
Did he say, Jason, that means a lot to me. I have so much money that I'm able to keep my Coke problem from being a headline.
He said something to the effect of, he said, that means a lot to me. Thank you very much.
Well, he seems like a good guy.
By all accounts, he is a great guy.
He's got a hot daughter.
Yes.
That I know.
Yes, he does.
So, that's great. I mean, you know.
Yeah.
Go hockey, I guess.
It was a good day to be a Red Wing fan.
Yeah, that's great, man. Now, do you know what tonight is?
What do we got? Tyronn Lue meeting with the Lakers? Is that what tonight is?
Are they going to hire him?
I think so.
Really?
Yeah.
Interesting.
Well, look, you've got like a 3-year window here if you're the Lakers, and you have to have someone that...
By the way, that Pelinka guy...
I know.
Their GM.
Yeah. He's like a poor man's Rob Lowe.
He does look like Rob Lowe. Actually, I wouldn't even say poor man's. That is a good-looking man there, Rob Pelinka, or whatever his name is. He does fish lips. He does Zoolander.
He does Blue Steel? Or is it...
He does. Have you noticed?
Or is it Ferrari?
Blue Steel.
Yeah.
If you actually look at my Twitter biopic, I'm doing Magnum or Blue Steel. I don't know which one it is, but...
I can see that. I think Joe graduated from the Lank Thompson Handsome Boy Academy.
My third or fourth grade football youth picture.
Yeah, I can see Joe with a little bit of effort and some gel. I can see Joe being a handsome lad. You kind of have that Jersey Shore blowout Italian thing happening about yourself.
Bleached my hair that time, too.
Ooh, Dusty did that as well. The Eminem look.
I did that once.
It was all the rage, as did I. I think everyone went through a bleach phase at one point.
Tonight is not the hiring of Tyronn Lue, but the Lakers will probably do that. Tonight is the first ever Blazers playoff game during our show.
This is the first one ever?
This has never happened.
Interesting.
Where they have been playing in the playoffs.
Playoffs? We're talking about the playoffs.
While we're on the air.
Interesting. And that's what, 6:30 tip?
6:30.
Playoffs?
So we only have to mail it in for like a half hour, which is about an hour and a half less than we normally mail it in on a
Friday.
Now,
what do you think the ratings will be?
for
our show? Are we going to keep people away from the Blazers game?
Well, I don't know. Well, here's the thing. Like, if you're a diehard,
that was a joke.
If you're a diehard Blazer fan,
how many diehard fans do we even have?
Well, 6:30, I'll just pop on the ESPN coverage on the board, and we'll you know, mail it in. You guys can go
home.
Well, I prefer,
I don't know if this is legal, but I think Suk and I should do live play-by-play the television.
You know, we did that once and the boss got pissed.
Yeah, you can't do that.
You can't do it.
Now, Mike and I did that. What did we do that for the other day?
I'm trying to remember, yeah.
We just did it for, we did it for the Ducks,
women's basketball game, Baylor.
The women's basketball game, the Baylor game. We called it live because we have the rights to it. It's just over on another station.
Yeah, that you can do.
So Mike and I, it was our first foray into a live play-by-play. And it was, I mean,
it was dynamite.
Dude, we killed it.
You were in the pocket. You were in the zone.
We killed it.
I don't remember what we were doing, but maybe it was like an NFL playoff game or something. But I remember once we were doing that and the boss came in and told us to knock it off that's a FCC violation.
Well, I think it's illegal.
It is. When someone pays a lot of money for the rights to a game, you can't then go watch that game and do the play-by-play.
I can't even say passes to another guy.
It circumvents the rules of the system. It's like when we were at Comic-Con and Daria and her twins were interviewing Adam West, and you just went and stuck a microphone in the interview. You interviewed the interview that was going on.
Yeah, and if that were another station,
that would be a no.
That we didn't know.
It's a no countsies.
Yeah, but what if you did this? What if we did the play-by-play of the game, but we took out the actual names of the players and we just said,
like what they did with like the old NCAA football games.
Yeah.
So instead of like
generic,
instead of like Marcus back there, quarterback in the Ducks, it was just QB number 8 from Hawaii.
Yeah, like we could say, and just look, nails a 3.
Yeah, make
and you
up.
All know that's Westbrook, but
yeah, and then we say like, you know, instead of Lillard, Billard for 3, bombs away, it's good, boom,
shaka, rocka. See, it's nothing like the broadcast.
What is that? The Coming to America? Instead of McDonald's, it's McDowell's.
Yeah,
instead of the
exactly.
Golden Arches, they have the Golden Arc.
Yeah,
yeah, I like it. I say we do this. Let's make it happen.
Well, we might. Who knows? 6:30 Blazers Thunder game. Trace.
Now, I did look. The Blazers are getting a lot of national love,
yeah,
right? Like it started with Barkley, I think, was the first one, and he did this a while back where he said he thought Portland was going to Western Conference Finals. Then it turned to he thought Portland was coming out of the West. Period. And now, you know, Barkley's like, look, I think they're going to win the whole thing. Today, I
Wait,
saw
what?
That, yeah,
he thinks they're going to win the whole.
Yeah, Barkley's got him winning the whole damn thing. And then I saw Woj today, the Woj bomb.
Yeah,
he was on ESPN saying that he thinks Portland's got an opportunity here to like open up a real window.
A real window for what?
To be a contender, to be a championship team. Mike, would you go pull that?
He's got it. Yeah. We were going to do all that next. We're going to start with NBA playoff talk. Well, I saw a tweet. Who was it? It wasn't Woj. It was Russillo.
Mm-hmm. Was he drunk and naked and in the wrong townhouse?
No, that's a little unfair.
Is it?
Yeah, the guy had a bad night.
I think that's more than a bad night. And he did say in his apology that he understood that people were going to make fun of it and he had to own up to it. If you get so drunk that you don't know what apartment or townhome you're walking into and then like you go and pass out naked in the bed, look, I think that's fair game for, I'm going to say, 4 to 5 years minimum.
Yes. Well, yeah, I'll lay off of him.
Fish agrees.
I'm fascinated by this idea that all of a sudden the Blazers are championship. I mean, like, this is bizarro world to me.
I know.
But I think there's a reason for it. So we'll table it and we'll get to it next.
All
because
right.
If we start that now, it's going to be like, we're going to be, you know.
I understand.
You know what I mean, bro?
You know.
By the way.
You know.
That was Joe Fisher, who is filling in for Mike Lynch. Yeah. Joe Fisher, everybody.
Yeah, where the hell
Hello, Joe.
Is this a planned thing? Did we know?
It was a planned thing. I don't know where he is.
He's in New Jersey. I think he's back in. He's back. He went home.
Oh, that's right. He goes home.
He's going
for
to the
Easter. The what do they call it? Passover or whatever.
Yeah. Passover is tomorrow, I think. Because you know that's where you pass. Like, you jump.
What?
You jump.
You want to go? You want to go over that one more time?
You jump. You pass.
You jump and pass.
It's a jump pass. Tomorrow.
That's swing spelled S-W-I-N-J.
No, he's going to the Yankees-Royals game, I think, tomorrow or Sunday. I think maybe it's Sunday's game. He's going to that. And so hopefully the Royals kick their ass like they did last night.
But I think he's going...
Because the Royals are the Yankees' daddies.
Yes, but he's going for Passover, which starts...
Yeah. It's tomorrow.
Today. No, it starts today.
Well, it's on my iCal, okay?
You better believe I clicked on the ad, and it is... Yeah. Yarmakula.com.
That's how you spell yarmulke.
He's going to go and wear his yarmulke.
I think he will have his yarmulke. Do you think he does wear a yarmulke when he's home for Passover?
Yeah, he says he's got one, but he's not like, he's not really Jewish. He says he's
he is.
Head coach.
Oh, my God. What?
No, he says that he, what does he call it? He's got a term for it, in that it's a tradition. It's not a religion to him.
Well, I think he says Jew-ish.
Yeah.
That's what he says, because he's kind of.
Yeah, he says it's not for him. It's not really religion, as it is more of a cultural tradition. But I do think he has a yarmulke.
But my iCal says Passover is tomorrow, and the iCal is never wrong.
I'm pretty sure it starts today, but.
Okay. Well, I'm sticking with my iCal, bro.
Let me look at this.
Sticking with Peter Jobs.
Right here. There you go. Passover 2019 will begin on the evening of Friday, April 19th, and it ends in the evening of Saturday, April
27th. Damn it! I hate the iCal. I'm going to Android.
Well, the Samsung is the Galaxy S10. It's got a lot of buzz behind it. It's $1,000, but got a lot of buzz.
All right, we start with NBA playoff talk next on The Fan.
Primetime with Isaac and Souk on 1080 The Fan.
You have a lot of players.
You have a lot of players in the NBA playoffs. Thanks, Mike Francesa. It is Isaac and Souk. Joe Fisher is here filling in for Mike.
Yeah, that's tremendous.
We're partying. We're ready to talk some NBA. Now, we have never presented our broadcast as overly blazery. Mm-hmm. We turn that faucet on and off, and quite often it is off.
What?
Well, and I was once told...
Because you give an honest view.
Well, but I mean, we don't belabor it. You know, it's like a lot of markets, and you can do this in like super over the top sports markets, like or Philly or Boston. Like you could just sit and bang on the Patriots all day, like
sure,
and you're getting huge ratings.
Yankees win, yeah. In some cities, no matter what's
but
going
here,
on.
But here we've never subscribed to that theory because, well, we don't need to get into that. But I was once told by a competitor, former coworker, said you are slitting your own throat if you don't talk Blazers 24/7.
15 years later.
Yeah, he had to apologize to me as I shot him ratings and said we continue to dominate the market without talking Blazers too much.
And last time I checked, my throat's okay. It doesn't appear to be slit, but I'm always the last one to know.
So it's proved to be a worthy or, I don't know, and it's worked for us. It's a play in our playbook, and, you know, so I don't know if we've ever been the show for Super Blazer guy.
Yeah, diehard.
We're not serving that guy.
No.
However, the Blazers have seemed to now become the talk of the NBA playoffs.
I thought after game two, Lillard kind of stole the spotlight. And by doing so, that light has been shined on Portland.
And I think
you've got Barkley picking him to go to the finals. Woj was talking about him today. More and more players tweeting about it. Like, you go on Twitter and it's Lillard, Lillard, Lillard.
Yeah, so let's get into that. All right, so now I think it's fascinating how Portland has been viewed. Let's just start with Charles Barkley. Barkley has always said, and I don't watch TNT as much as a lot of you guys, so correct me if I'm wrong, but I always remember Barkley saying, the Blazers are too much of a jump shooting team, jump shot oriented team. They're not going to win anything.
Yeah.
That was with Aldridge, early Lillard. And then, I think he's stuck with that narrative until all of a sudden, it feels like to me, all of a sudden, the Blazers win two games without their second best player, arguably, Yusuf Nurkic, and even though they're the three seed and they have home court, they win two games on their home court, and all of a sudden they're NBA champs. Like, this is bizarre to me. What has changed? What has shifted? This narrative. I don't know where it comes from. I have an idea on the Woj thing. And Russillo, I was bringing up Russillo's tweet, and his tweet was straight out of the Neil Olshey grab bag, which is, this is why you stay, I'm paraphrasing, this Lillard run here, and again, it's been two games.
Why you stay the course.
Is why you're patient, which I think is 180% the other way. Not at all. This is when you have a player like Lillard, it's why you have a sense of urgency a la Toronto, or I mean, I don't know, Lakers with LeBron, or Oklahoma City with Durant, or whatever.
Well, Durant would have, Oklahoma City would go with the Paul George thing, right? Making a deal knowing
or Westbrook,
that,
yeah.
Yeah, they made a deal with Paul George knowing that he may not stay, but you know, they ended up getting him.
But you know what I mean. Like I think that is that to me sounds like it came straight from Olshay, which I know Olshay talks to some of those national guys. He doesn't talk to anybody locally really, except for people who he has in his hip pocket and just want to disseminate his narrative. But I just feel like wow, that's like the exact opposite. It's not why you stay patient. It's why it's you have a generational player. You know that you only have him for so long. You never know when he's going to get hurt. You never know. You never know anything. You never know if he's going to bolt and go play with a buddy in another market. And it's like, man, you got to capitalize. And so I think a lot of this stuff is coming from is like these people are drinking the Neil Olshay Kool-Aid.
Well, and you said it's after two games. I get why people are excited. It's looked good. But again, to your point, it's been two games. I just think people in this town have been looking for something to be excited for a number of years. And it's never really felt like Portland is close. And all of a sudden, this does have a different feel. I think throughout this season, it's had a bit of a different feel to it. And now with being up 2-0 in the playoffs, you're pretty excited about it. And now you throw on some national love on top of it. And there isn't a lot of compelling stories right now. There hasn't been in the first round of the playoffs. And so I think some of the national people have grabbed onto this. And I think for the first time, Golden State looks vulnerable that we've seen during this run. And so I think that's intriguing as well to a lot of people.
And they just win by like 40 last night?
By the way, I called that one. I mean, that's the Mike Francesa thing. You knew they were going to just alley-whip them. But no, there are people that think that Golden State is vulnerable. And you look at the second-round matchup, and people are licking their chops, although San Antonio is just doing what San Antonio does, and that's continuing to be an excellent franchise, and they're not going to be a road apple for anyone. But I get why people are excited. I get why some of the national media is grabbing onto this because it's new. It's different. It's kind of a sexy storyline. It's a fun, easily likable team. But to your point, it's two games in and things can't, you can go from being the darling to the outhouse real, real quick.
So here is Barkley.
I've already made my pick in the West. I'm riding with Dame, CJ, my man Enes Kanter, Eruk Alpha, whatever his name is. It means the king, I think it says.
Somebody. Alpha Eruk Aminu.
Yeah, which means Alpha the king Aminu. Is coming, something like that.
The king is here?
Yeah. They got my man Jaxman, Layman.
You don't have to go down the whole roster.
We don't have to go through the roster. Just tell you. Maurice Harkless.
That's not analyzing. Go through the roster.
See, I feel like he's just mocking them.
It's a weird thing in that he's picking them, but it's...
He doesn't even know who plays on the team.
He doesn't know who plays on the team. This is kind of the same thing that he does with college basketball as well.
I love Barkley.
Yeah.
But this is it's just weird. I can't figure out what he's doing. Because he said this a month ago, mm-hmm. and everybody was like, oh, that's just, you know, Chuck. Ha-ha. Sure. And now he's like, he sees that they're up 2-0, and he's like, oh, Western Conference Finals. And now everybody's like, ha-ha-ha? Like, nobody knows what to make of it. It's so weird. I've never seen anything like it. And here's Woj. You ready for Woj?
I'm ready for Woj.
They've stayed with this group in Portland. And you have found with that organization what stability has meant. People talk about it all over the league. But they've lived it in Portland. And you, all of a sudden you look at Portland and say, this is a team with a window here to make a real postseason run. They've shown themselves to be a really good model for a lot of small market teams around the NBA.
Now, there is truth to that in a sense that, hey, if you can't attract the free agents, you got a good young team. This was, I mean, we're going way back now. We're going four years ago where you got a good young team. The owner likes them. Hey, just lock them up.
Yeah.
Right? Remember that was Allen Crabbe, Myers Leonard, Harkless.
And you went out and got Evan Turner.
And you added Turner. So I mean there is merit to this idea for small markets because you know you're not going to attract the big free agents, but you know you can get. I mean Oklahoma City's a small market, you know, and they have Paul George and Russell Westbrook. And yeah. So I just sometimes that small market thing is used as a crutch, and I think Portland has tried to kind of spin this, especially Olshay, as oh well we just it's so hard here and this is how we have to do it. And that's just not true.
No, I just think it's harder to do in small markets. I do. I believe into that line of thinking that it is much harder to do here than it would be in L.A. or
But look at L.A.
You know, Boston or a place like that.
L.A. is a mess.
Yeah, L.A. is a mess. And look, I'll give him credit.
Milwaukee, another one.
This is. I think he's sitting back right now. And again, it's only two games in. Wait and see what happens on Monday, and we'll see where the series is at, and how this thing ends up. But I do think that there is a measure of probably smug satisfaction, and I emphasis on smug, from Olshay, because he has taken a lot of heat, and rightfully so. And he's sitting back now and is probably looking at this and kind of trying to give everyone the big S sandwich and be like, see, I told you. But there's some of that is, I think some of that is warranted, but sometimes the end result doesn't necessarily mean that the criticism wasn't fair coming his
way. Well, yeah, I mean, if they go to the Western Conference Finals, does that change anything about the disappointment of the last 3.5 years?
No, it doesn't change anything about that disappointment.
It shouldn't, because it should make you think, oh my God, with Lillard and McCollum playing like this, why weren't they able to do more around them?
And that's kind of the thing, is it's easy to sit back now and say, well, look at what Dame and CJ turned into, or look at what Nurk became. But again, it's, to me, you can't tell me that everyone knew that this was coming, including Neil. And by the way, what's coming? We don't know what's coming. You're up 2-0 in a playoff series. It's just, there is a lot of excitement and a lot of hype. I get it. Now it's just, you know, whether the team can actually live up to that, and whether this keeps going and that narrative continues to grow stronger, or is there bumps along the way? Also, let's say this thing does end in the second round or ends in a Western Conference final. Is that something that you build upon, or you take a step backwards? You know, we've seen NBA teams kind of get a good draw, right? And make a jump ahead. And then the next year, take a step backwards, right? There's a difference between having a good year and building what is a serious title contending team. I think what's exciting, if you're a Blazer fan, is maybe you are closer than you realize. And we talked to Quick about this yesterday, is maybe this is the sort of team now. And if you have some success, you can make a run to the second round of the Western Conference Final. Is this now a place that can actually attract someone that could really be a huge difference maker? If you get Nurkic back and then you add a piece to this puzzle, then do you truly become a title contending team?
All right, text the Better You Today text line 55305 with your thoughts. What is, I think what's interesting now is we've gone so far the other way, even with, especially when national guys drive the narrative bus. What is satisfactory now? I mean, don't they now, because of the 2-0 lead and how, you know, all this talk, don't they have to win the series now?
Yes.
Like, if they lose this series,
it looks horrible.
Is that even worse than maybe rolling in and getting swept like last year? You know what I mean? Like, the pendulum has swung so far the other way now that now it's like we haven't even thought about the Nuggets and Spurs. They're a bump in the road on the way to the Western Conference Final. I mean, it's just bizarro land to me.
Yeah,
how this is all going all of a sudden, and I you know, the Blazers still may win the series. Is that enough? Is it enough that they win this series and then get into the next round, and then it's all bets are off?
Well, every series they have led 2-0, it's been 14 series, they've had a 2-0 lead, and they've won every single one of them.
They got to win this series.
There's no excuse for losing this series. You are the better team right now. You've got home court. You're up 2-0. No excuses to lose this.
But just last week, we said,
yep,
you would have never said that.
And that's how quickly this thing can change.
Which I'm just cautioning.
Yeah.
These big shifts in, yeah, you know, now it's Western, or no, he said finals. He said NBA finals.
Yeah.
Wow.
Well, because you look at it and you look at, you know, San Antonio's up 2-1 on Denver, and I don't know if either one of those teams particularly scares you. And again, the Warriors look vulnerable, supposedly, even though they've been beyond dominant. They just gacked away the one game that they were up by 31 or whatever it was. But yeah,
happening?
This is what happens. People get excited and we take a story, we take a narrative, and we run with it.
You know what else could be happening, which we'll get to next, and a couple of people have brought it up on the Better You Today text line, what Olshay may be up to here.
Yeah, I know where you're going with this.
So we'll get to that coming up next. But get your text in. Better You Today text line 55305. Here's Joe with SportsCenter.
Prime Time with Isaac and Souk on 1080 The Fan.
All right, I've got only two Tiger Woods leftovers left.
At this, it's like they're Thanksgiving. There's just like a little, like small pile of potatoes, like one piece of like dark, like turkey left.
Yeah. Hopefully there's some stuffing, but usually the stuffing's the first thing to go.
Some of that coagulated gravy that you got to heat up in the microwave.
Does he win a fifth green jacket? The answer is no, he doesn't.
This isn't his fifth?
Well, I'm saying an actual green jacket.
Oh.
He does not get a fifth green jacket.
Oh, really?
I'll explain.
Interesting. Because yeah, this was his fifth Masters, right?
Yes.
Boy, I thought you got a new one every year.
You do not.
Those cheap bastards.
I also have a Masters Champions dinner menu list of all the guys who've ever won the Masters. We're going to look at some of these and judge them appropriately.
Ooh, I'm kind of excited about that.
Because you get to choose the dinner. Yeah, you do the menu.
You do the menu.
At the Masters dinner.
Was it Fuzzy Zeller after Tiger won it the very first time?
Yes, it was Fuzzy Zeller. Boy. Interesting, you went right to that.
Well, I don't know. Uncomfortable. When you brought up the Masters dinner,
he said watermelon and collard greens.
I thought he said, was it that? I thought he dropped a fried chicken.
Well, I don't know. The point.
He made a very racist stereotype when Tiger won.
God.
Yeah, you know that that's a thing. But you never really hear much about it other than when Fuzzy decides to go super creepy racism.
So that's coming up. But we're talking Blazers, and we're going to get some texts here on the Better You Today text line. A lot of you have brought this up. A few of you have brought this up, and I think it's interesting. I hadn't even thought about this. But, you know, it's no secret that Olshay wants to get to L.A., and the Lakers have an opening in their front office. And what if Olshay's really spinning this narrative through his buddy Woj or Russillo or whomever, whoever he's buddies with, to really get the narrative out there, to really drive the point home that, because this would be an explanation for why such a shift in two games.
Yeah.
I mean, I see it if they win the series and it's like, oh, okay, watch out for this team. Two games on their home court and all of a sudden this is really bizarre from a Barkley or a Woj, especially big time guys like that. Maybe he's just playing his cards for the LA gig.
I'll tell you what, if that is the case, because I am with you, it is interesting that this has become such a big national story when, you know, it's been hard to get anyone to pay attention to the little old team from Portland. If that's the case, tip of the cap to the GM, bro. Way to go. I mean, look.
That's how you play it.
That is how you play it.
You got to play politics to get that gig.
Yeah, ultimately, if your goal is to be the president of basketball operations, I think that was Magic's position, right?
Yeah, he was, but
you're the head cheese, right? You make the decisions.
And I don't know, like he's more of a Palenka type guy, like a scout GM type.
Scout GM, but trust me, if you get a chance to be the head of running the Lakers, second to only Mrs. Buss, absolutely you try. And yeah, look, Neil has done a real good job at a couple things here. First and foremost, you cannot like him personally, which sign me up for that, but he has done a better job of assembling the team than a lot of people want to give him credit for. It's been a rough process and there's been a lot of growing pains. And I don't know if he necessarily saw this, maybe he's lucked into some of it, but he has been, he's been rewarded with this, right? You're the third seed. You're looking good in the postseason. You got Nurkic for nothing doing the Plumlee model. So as frustrating as it's been under him, he got the Cantor deal done. Rodney Hood brought in Seth Curry. He's done a pretty good job of putting this team together. There's been some missteps along the way, but you know, ultimately this has turned out to be a better team than a lot of people thought it was going to be. And he has learned to play the game here in Portland. This has not been a job that has been really a long tenured one. And there's been a lot of people that have held this position that have not been able to hold on to it. And Neil hasn't necessarily been gangbusters every year, but he knows how to play the game. I think he knows how to put the spin on it to ownership and convince them that his plan is a viable one. And so for someone that knows how to play the game, that doesn't surprise me at all that he would do this to try to spin it into the LA job.
And this text says these national guys just don't want Olshay stepping on their shoes.
Well, that's true.
Simple as that.
You don't want to be in the second round and have Neil stepping on your loafers.
That's an inside joke from, was that yesterday's broadcast?
Yesterday we were talking about Neil maybe purposely stepping on Rashad's shoes.
Yeah, from the fan. From Rashad. The fan. Yeah. I disagree about the roster, but we don't need to get into that. The reason I disagree with that is I think that it's crazy that we've gotten to this place where just a series win in the playoffs with a superstar player like Damian Lillard is like puts the whole city over the moon. Like, I just don't think that should be your standard. I think your standard should be, and you had Damian, you've had Damian Lillard for however many years, seven now, 8 years now.
I think this is his seventh year.
And I get you got a little unlucky with the LaMarcus Aldridge thing, him walking away. Now that I don't think can be pinned to Neil, although he was the GM. And that's when, you know, that's the moment where all these clips came from.
Guys, move on.
Yeah.
You know, that was the big LaMarcus press conference.
It's not breaking news, dude.
Where he was really pissy, which, you know, I don't know how, I don't know how much culpability he believes that he should have. Well, we all know that he doesn't believe he should have any culpability in that. I don't know how much culpability personally I would put on him for LaMarcus Aldridge leaving. Okay. I don't know that. Do you?
No. I mean, to me, the LaMarcus,
that's a hard one because
me,
it looked
LaMarcus
like he was gone
and wanted to go home.
Right. And so it's like, you know, can you really stick it to Olshay for not being able to convince him? So that happens. Then he has to rework things. And I think it's just, it's bizarro land to me that we've gotten to this place with a superstar player like Damian Lillard that winning a playoff series is the greatest thing in the whole world.
Which, by the way, hasn't happened yet.
Right. But that's the standard.
Sure.
That's what it's become. And somehow we are to rejoice and say he's done a good job building the roster when that's the standard. That's crazy to me. But we don't need to debate that any more than we already have. We'll see what they do.
But to be fair, they are the third seed, right?
Regular season. But this has always been my complaint.
We're bifurcating. And now, right, we've had postseason disappointment after postseason disappointment. And we said all along that this team will be judged off of what they do in the postseason. And it's far too early to make a determination on that. You're up 2-0. And by the way, again, to your point, this is an Oklahoma City team that's bowed out in the first round the last 3 years. It's a sub-500 team in the second half of the season.
Yeah, but I think you got to give the Blazers credit.
I do give them credit, but at the same time, I'm trying to take, what does Trent Dilfer always say, the 35,000-foot view, right?
It's only 30,000.
Is it 30,000? I thought the cruising
35 is a little high.
I thought that was the cruising altitude was 35.
Take a look.
Yeah, take a look and see what the cruising altitude is. I thought the pilot, Captain Race O'Bannon, always came on and gave me that we're cruising at 35,000 feet.
Ooh, 41,000.
41,000.
That's private jets.
I was going to say, like, I can't see anything from 41,000.
Yeah, you're right. 35. Like about 35,000 feet.
Yeah. So I'm trying to take that view of you.
Or 36.
Of if you do beat Oklahoma City. Remember, Utah beat Oklahoma City last year in the first round. Is Utah any better off? Or Memphis getting into the conference finals a couple years ago and now being in shambles. It's not a complete job here by any stretch of the imagination, but I do think that you have to look at what the team has done this year, the way they've looked in these first two games, and say that this hopefully ends up being a season where some of those demons get exercised.
It is excellent because of Damian Lillard.
Yes.
You know, if you want to give Olshay credit, the way to do it is everybody that he's brought in, mm-hmm, has not been a malcontent type guy. Like he's
they've
really
built a good culture.
That to me is Lillard.
That's
true. But he adds to that by not bringing in guys who are gonna put holes in that, right? Like he gets and I love that because Bob Whitsitt, this was the opposite of Bob Whitsitt. Remember, Bob Whitsitt built a way better team than Neil Olshay.
Yeah.
But what ultimately did him in? Well, I'm not a chemistry major, right? He brought in all these
talent,
volatile guys, but it was a much better team. So it's kind of like you got two different sides of the coin. Olshay does do a very good job of one, finding guys who are
it's like reclamation projects, like whether it's Chief, whether it's Nurk, Minu was like this. Guys that, you know, were essentially cast off that have ended up being very solid, or in the case of Nurk, I think for much of the year, Nurk was their second best player, and he was a guy that you got for someone that wasn't going to be on your roster.
So he does a very good job of finding guys that are like reclamation projects for next to nothing. He's pulled off a couple of good deals. He got Yusuf Nurkic for cheap and signed him for cheap. And so That's great. It's just that's not how you win titles. Like he's put in some nice pieces, but thank God for Damian Lillard, because Damian Lillard is the guy that is the cog that makes this thing go, and he's making him look really good right now. And CJ McCollum. Now, one area where I will fully admit that I may have been completely wrong is I would have advocated for trading CJ McCollum.
Yeah,
these two games in the playoffs make me the two leading scorers in this series are Damian Lillard and CJ McCollum.
Yeah.
Lillard, I would expect. CJ, I didn't, especially with Paul George and Russell Westbrook on the other side. Now, we'll see if that continues. But I am open to the idea that those two, with better pieces around them, can be better than I thought. That's where it's like, because I would have traded CJ. I thought they were too similar.
Yep.
I thought they, you know, teams are going to just continue to do what New Orleans did
defensive
to them last
liabilities.
Year. And they have, for the first two games, they've knocked that opinion on its heels. But again, it's only been two games. So we can go around and around about him all you want. This is Damian Lillard's team. It's Damian Lillard's culture. I think they have a very good coach. Terry Stotts, I think, is doing really well with the pieces that he's been given. Mm-hmm. But this idea that they're going to win the – like this is not – a team like this is built really well for the regular season, wins a lot of games in the regular season. It is not built for the finals.
Let's see what happens in the postseason.
And I'd put any amount of money on that.
Someone says if O'Shea really wants the Lakers top spot, he should trade Lillard for Lonzo Ball. If that happens, he's a shoe-in. See, there you go. Keep an eye out for that one.
Right.
He calls up LA. He's like, hey, you interested in this?
I really like Lonzo Ball. Oh, wait, my new job is president of the Lakers with Damian Lillard and LeBron James. Bye.
Okay,
thanks. Bye.
He trades for like three leftover Lakers, trades Lillard, and then a week later he leaves for LA.
Well, we've got some more. I do want to get to some texts. And because our initial topic was talking about how the narrative shifts so drastically after two games. And some of you are weighing in on that, and we'll get to that. And then some Tiger leftovers coming up on The Fan.
Primetime with Isaac and Souk on 1080 The Fan.
All right, Better You Today text line is 55305. I'm going to read a couple of these here and from you. The listeners, male, female, young, old, white, black.
Why does it have to be male or female? You can identify as anything you want.
True.
It's Portland, you insensitive jerk.
What is the moniker?
I don't know.
Well.
You know what? I don't see
Joe's
gender.
In there yawning.
I don't see.
He's loving this hot blazer talk.
I don't see gender.
Yeah, I think you do.
No.
That's 50% stupid.
Stotts is part of the culture too, and he's here because of Olshay, says someone. Another says the roster is mediocre. At least this year, we seem to be trying at the deadline. Olshay mostly sucks. I hope he goes to LA. Grim in Portland.
He's a polarizing figure, and I think some of it too is that he's just an unlikable guy.
Well,
I think if he wasn't a
If he
wasn't condescending.
That's what somebody said. Somebody said if he were nice to the media, he'd be a hero. That is so not true.
No.
I think that there isn't anyone in the media. I can think of one guy who likes him because this guy likes him because he's job security and he has him in his hip pocket.
Yeah.
And I don't need to name names. But and so Neil Olshay is nice to this guy. But it's just this game of, hey, I disseminate his crap when I... use my Twitter feed or whatever, and then I have job security. So that stuff's boring. There's guys like that in every market. Most of the people, including Jason Quick, who are anything in this market covering that team, can't stand Neil Olshay. As a matter of fact, he has no relationships with anyone locally. But to say that because of that, that clouds, like you're not giving these people, including myself, I think, enough credit for being able to just say, yeah, I can't stand that guy. He's a total D. But that doesn't matter. Fans don't care about that. What fans care about is the job he's doing for their franchise. And I think that almost all, I can't think of anyone who doesn't separate the two, or shall I say, bifurcate the two.
There you go.
So it's not hard to do that, and I don't think you're giving people enough credit when you say, well, you don't like him, so therefore you are skewed in your opinion of. No, I've said the same thing. I sound like a broken record with the Blazers because I've said the same thing for 4 years because they've had the same team for 4 years. That's why.
Well, and, maybe,
and that's what I think. And maybe they'll prove me completely wrong this playoffs, but I don't think so.
Portland fans identify as NBA champs after two games. That's all it takes in our new society.
Well, I tell you what, somebody did say, you know, we are classic at taking small victories here and conflating them way out of proportion.
Yeah.
We do that all the time.
Yeah.
And this may or may not be another one. You know, I do feel like the Blazers right now kind of feel a little bit like Trump in one sense, in this sense that, like, it's like, oh, he won't run for president. He won't win the primary.
China.
He won't be president.
I'm really rich.
Oh, he won't. This will stick to him. He won't get by this.
Space Force.
Check. And so the Blazers are kind of like that right now, where it does feel special because of Damian Lillard, and then CJ's playing great. So you look at it and you go, Blazers are up 2-0. No way they win tonight. Right? I mean, come on. It's, you know, no way they win tonight. No way they go up 3-0 and have an easy series over Paul George and Russell Westbrook. No way. Then no way they win another series, right? No way. Then no way. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Are you seeing what I'm saying here?
I see where you're going with it.
And so you never know.
I just think it's important, as exciting as this is, it's important to realize that even if you dispatch Oklahoma City in 4 or 5 games, right? Let's say that this goes the way you want it to. I would still caution about viewing that as some sort of moral triumph here with building a small market team and staying the course. Because, again, it's an Oklahoma City team that has bowed out in the first round of the playoffs 3 years in a row. And you're the 3 seed. They're the 6 seed. They were a game away from being the 8 seed. Yes, it's better than what you had last year. But I don't think that one series should or can validate 4 or 5 years of building a team. I think it's one of those things that if you do it, I think that you give them some credit. And I think it gives you another couple years to kind of see where you're going with this. I think it secures Lillard's future. Obviously, with signing, hopefully, a long-term extension and keeping him here. And hopefully, it leads to another piece of the puzzle wanting to come on board. But by any stretch of the imagination, this is not a complete product, nor is this an NBA championship team. And anyone thinking that after two games of beating an Oklahoma City team that, again, has been sub-500 since the All-Star break... Yeah, that's,
you know what?
It's all a bit much.
You know what you are? You're a hater.
I'm a realist.
No, you're a hater.
But at the same time, I get it. I'm excited. I have not felt, because I try to be.
See,
as
there we go. Now you're not a hater.
I am as neutral as I can be when it comes to that. There's just not a team that I'm like that I'm a diehard for. I don't have rose-colored glasses for anyone. Not the college I went to, not the Mets, not the Red Wings. It just doesn't happen. But I will tell you that I find myself getting caught up in finding teams that are likable. And I will tell you that this is the most likable Blazer team that I can remember in a long, long time. And it's also the best feeling that you've had about a Blazer team in a long, long time. And so I get why people get excited. I get why people get over their skis. I just think it's important to remember to sometimes take a deep breath and, again, take the 35,000-foot view of it, as opposed to getting caught up in kind of the hype and the mania behind it.
Tiger Leftovers next on The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.